It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. All right, we'll get to Ed McCarthy here in just a few. Scotty says, callers are fast and will try to hold Ed not in big hurry. All right, we'll get to Ed in a second. Oh, these are Emerson, Emerson Street people. Let's see. Oh, now he's typing on the screen. Sorry, Ed. All right. Yes, Ed, we don't mean to make you feel like I said. We're just trying to solve this question about where Emerson Street is. Let's see here. Lee, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, Emerson Street is exactly one block south of Northeast Killingsworth.
So it's by Killingsworth and... So is it like between Killingsworth and Alberta?
Yes.
Okay, and Killingsworth and... Yeah, that's a fine neighborhood.
Yeah, it's seedy at best.
No, it's not. It's actually... there's some cool stuff there. There's a place... Is it on Alberta? There's a restaurant called Cool Runnings there, which if you're into, like, Jamaican or Jamaican barbecue, is some of the best barbecue I've ever had. It's like Salvador Mali's, sort of. A little bit different, a little spicier. It's called Cool Runnings on Alberta. But, so Emerson Street is over there. I'll do get my photo taken there, because it just seems obligatory. It seems like it's something I have to do. It's like when Clyde was in a cemetery one time, and there was a big gravestone that just said Clyde in big letters. And he's like, get the camera! So you have to do it.
Yes.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Lee. For the love of God. That never gets old. Gets old all the time. Kelly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, I called you guys yesterday.
Yes, you did.
I thought that was Starbucks thing.
Yes.
I actually deliver for a coffee company. We're really not supposed to be nice or anything about other coffee companies. But actually, coffee companies get, like, bad raps from people all the time. And I deliver, and I have to go out there, and we have graffiti on our building, graffiti on our van sometimes. And it's like, we're doing them a favor, and I don't know, it seems like we get a bad rap for...
Now, you don't work for Starbucks.
I don't work for Starbucks.
When you say you work for a coffee company, do you deliver, like, whole bean coffee to places, or...?
Yeah, I deliver whole bean, ground, everything that's associated with, like, coffee, flavors, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's coffee companies so much as it is just Starbucks. Like, I don't hear anybody who's really... I don't hear anybody get really pissed off about, like, Seattle's Best or something. I mean, maybe they do, but I think it's just Starbucks. Starbucks just gets... people just... Especially here in Portland, because it's filled with hippies. The people just hate Starbucks for some reason. And I think it's the idea that once you become... I don't know, that once you become a little bit too popular, that suddenly everybody is obliged to dislike you. And it's like Starbucks has... But the only reason I don't like Starbucks, they just got bad coffee. But it's like, bad coffee isn't a crime. I mean, it ought to be, but it's not. So what are you going to do?
Exactly. And I when I'm delivering, I have to have a hand truck and everything. And no one opens the doors or anything. They're just like, oh, it's a delivery person. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let's close the door on her. Blah, blah, blah.
Now, the Rick Emerson Show does not support that attitude, because without delivery drivers, we have nothing. So.
Oh, well, thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right, thank you. That's Kelly, 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 Kelly. All right. And so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, at the CNN Radio Center in Atlanta, in the South, our good friend and laid-back dude, Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
Rick, happy Friday to you.
Indeed. How's life? How are things, my friend?
Not too bad. Not too shabby, actually. We made it through the week. A little shortened week, because I had a couple of days off after the trip with the Anna Nicole fiasco. And that just keeps... getting into a new lifestyle, isn't it, that whole story?
We were just saying last hour that, she died, it seems like so much longer ago. It seems like 8 days has just been like a month. I mean, it just seems like forever that she's been dead, because there's so much that's happened. I mean, they've packed so much into the story, just 8 days. So when she died last Thursday, we sort of thought, well, because it happened during our show, and so we talked for a couple hours about it, and then we thought, well, and we'll talk about it Friday, and then we'll be sick of it, the audience is going to be sick of it, and everything's going to be done. By Monday, we'll have moved on, and the whole world will have forgotten. But, I mean, this story just gets more and more insane by the day. So, okay, so the latest is what? The will is out.
The will is out, and apparently the will was from 1991, so the money was being left to her son, who is now deceased, and they never redid that will, so the big question is, where's all that money going to go?
And so...
probably to the lawyers.
And so because the will was made out to benefit Daniel Smith, her son, who is now dead, what is then the default? Does it default to Daniel Lynn? Does it default to the executor to do with as they wish? Does it default to her... What happens now?
That's a good question, and I think that's going to have to be cleared up because based on what went on today with the lawyers, I mean, it was kind of like another day two of wilding in there. They moved it to a bigger courtroom, and all of these lawyers are there, and they're yelling at each other, and the judge says, look at me when you don't look at somebody else, he says, because you won't start yelling at me. And so actually I did a story on it today, and I said it was kind of like a carnival atmosphere, and I called the judge the ringmaster.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he is.
That judge, we were saying earlier that I think they've learned a lot from from Judge Ito. They've learned how to maximize their exposure and their time on camera, because this judge is hilarious. He sounds like one of those guys who ought to have a name like Three Fingers Brown or Vinny the Chin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something?
Yeah, you know, a couple of one-liners quick, and he says, all right, then we'll take a break. You know, we'll be right back, tip your waiters, you know?
No, it's crazy. And so Howard K. Stern is what? Is the executor but not a beneficiary?
Yeah, and that's the strange part of the whole thing. And they're calling him into court next Tuesday. They want him back because now we have to go through all this thing of where she's going to be buried. The judge signed an order today to have the body embalmed. So we're going to be off the freezer and out of the freezer and into the embalming fluid.
Out of the freezer and into the fire or something. If she was being cremated, I could totally make that joke. We're going to take her out of the freezer and into the fire.
Yeah.
This is a morbid point, but I mean, so they haven't embalmed her. Well, that's not. I mean, they can't possibly have an open casket funeral at that point. Then, if she hasn't been embalmed, and it's been like a week. I mean, that's. You can't do that, can you?
I don't think so.
One irony.
Time's running out. I mean, you know, they had her on ice, so to speak, in that refrigerated room because they wanted to, which is kind of like our Reddit rooms today at work in the newsroom. They were like that. They were at one point it was 63 degrees. When the outside temperature is 30, that's not good.
No.
So anyway, I said to somebody, I said, gee, I said, you know, you could probably put Anna Nicole in here today. She'd be okay, you know?
All right, and so then...
I threw you for a loop on that one, Rick. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just trying to... It's not that. We were just trying to untangle this whole thing in our heads. So she never divorced J. Howard Marshall, right? They were still married when he died?
They were still married, and so that's the whole thing with the money. That's the money flow right there. But that's still in question as well. I mean, you remember the Supreme Court said that the federal case could go on and that they could, you know, she could continue the claim. Now she's not there anymore to continue that claim. So, you know, we wonder if, you know, Howard K. Stern, who is an attorney himself, will, in fact, be arguing that case down the road. Maybe he'll argue that the money should go to the daughter. I mean, this whole thing started out that he had it, she had it set up so that it would be go into a fund and it would increase in increments over the years. But it would have to stay in a fund.
And there, it seems like it could either go to Daniel's father, who is, I guess, some fry cook, some guy. It could go to Daniel's father, or it could go to either Daniel Lynn's guardian or Daniel Lynn's biological father.
And I think that's where we're going to go here, because this is going to be interesting with the DNA.
And so they took DNA. I'm just trying to get this all sorted out in my own head. So they took DNA from Anna Nicole so that they can show that the baby that they test eventually is hers. And then has the judge said when and if they're going to just get all these guys in a room and just say and find out who the dad is?
That's going to be next week. Next week they're going to fight that one out.
So they're not actually going to do it next week, but next week they're going to have the arguments over how that's going to proceed.
The arguments are going to on how it's going to proceed, the whole thing. And you know what they did was the medical examiner took DNA at the time of the autopsy, so he said that would have been plenty, but they wanted more, so the judge had an order for more DNA, and they did the swab yesterday, and then today he signed the order for the embalming. So, you know, we got to go back now and go through this whole paternity thing. And now the latest guy now is the bodyguards coming forward.
Right, right.
So, you know, there may be five or six more by the time the weekend is over.
God almighty, you should just throw your hat in the ring.
I don't think Kathy would like that too much, because Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband wasn't too pleased.
Hey, you know what? $400 million, that buys a lot of roses.
Honey, if I throw my name in the ring here for $400 mil, what do you think?
I think
it's fine. She said it's fine.
There
okay,
you go.
Good. Well, there's the go-ahead right there.
That's what I'm saying. The Kathmeister approves.
Yeah.
All right. Ed McCarthy, my friend, enjoy your evening and enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you very soon, sir.
We will talk to you next week.
There you go.
Take care.
Thank
have a
you.
Good weekend.
Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. There you go. Fantastic. Yes?
Oh, no, nothing.
What were you saying?
Ed just is always so jovial. They seem like they enjoy a good cocktail hour.
They do. Well, because it's what? It's like 4:15 there. And he's
that's totally drinking time.
Well, especially because he gets to work at like 5 in the morning, mm-hmm. So he's done at like 1 or something. That's why I love that guy. Because it's toddy hour, Scotty. Because that guy, he's off the clock like 3 hours ago, but he talks to us just because I think he likes us. So that's cool. Do a couple of these, and we'll go to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and I think we might do spot the fake metal lyrics for these Supernova tickets. Oh, and guess what I bought? Chocolate Chex Mix.
Ooh.
50% less fat.
Oh, and thank you to Sarah Wagner for the soup.
Yeah, Sarah Wagner, who is on the Timnasium with Tim Savage, brought Sarah some soup because she heard that Sarah had no food. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, can I try your chocolate Chex?
Not yet. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of... I'm sorry. You know what it is? I'm past my caffeine window. I was supposed to get a coffee refill at 1, and I didn't, and so now my brain is all fuzzy. We'll get to Tim in a second. Jim, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, brother?
I'm fine.
Well, so you mentioned Cool Runnings, and they used to be on 42nd or 43rd in Fremont.
Oh, not Alberta. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I was hoping they moved. They're closed.
What? Oh, Cool Runnings closed?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, I know. You know, and so then I've been jonesing for, like, really good jerk chicken or...
Well, then you want to go to Salvador Molly's.
The ribs were great.
You want to go to Salvador Molly's then, and then that's not a plug. I'm not being paid to say that. I'm simply saying...
it's not the same.
Well, it's different. It's a slightly different flavor. Salvador Molly's... the thing about Cool Runnings is... It was good. It was so spicy, though. It was spicy. I felt that for, like, days afterward.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the heartburn and just... I mean, it was good, but it was so hot. Salvador Molly's more well-rounded taste. It's not diluted or anything, but it's not quite as intense heat-wise.
Well, and if you go to the original one, they make the best mojitos.
Yeah, Salvador Molly's, that's actually, I will say, that's the place where we take people from out of town. When we get out-of-town guests who come visit us, that's one of the places we take them. But, well, that sucks that Cool Runnings is gone. I didn't go there very often because it was so hot I couldn't take it all that often. But, now I'm all down. Well, I'm going to have to soothe myself with these chocolate Chex Mix then.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Hey, all right, take care. Have
thank
fun.
Thank you. There you go. All right. Well, here's the thing. We got this Anna Nicole Smith call. I want these chocolate Chex Mix, but I got to have some coffee. But we got to do the news on Tim. I can't make Scott get me coffee.
I don't think you need any more coffee.
I'm feeling a little fuzzy.
How about a Vizo?
It's way over there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, hello. It's down.
Oh, I see.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Democratic-controlled House issued a symbolic rejection of the president's plan to deploy more troops into Iraq. In the meantime, in Baghdad, our troops are getting very upset. The terrorists won't come on and fight. They apparently left town, so we're sending people in for nothing, and there's nobody coming outside to get killed.
Oh, we're just knocking
door
to door.
They're not fighting like men.
Landshark.
All right. Meanwhile, an Oregonian turns 109. Luella Carlton still balances her own checkbook, prepares her income tax returns, and follows the stock market. Apparently, nationally, there were 120 people who are now 109 and older. The oldest person in Oregon is 110-year-old Helen Johnson, but she doesn't do interviews.
Really? I'm stunned.
Luella Carlton has a 79-year-old son named Robert. He lives in Salem with his wife, Marilyn.
A 79-year-old son?
Yeah.
How bizarre. Mm-hmm. That whole thing is just weird. Her son is older than my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, strange.
Well, the old woman stresses eating lots of fruits and vegetables, and she likes coffee and sweets, but eats in moderation.
Well, that's good. There's an old woman who lives on our block, this woman named Tippy, who we talk about sometimes.
Tippy. And that's a name for a cat.
She's so great. I don't really like people, but she's great because old people are just sort of... old people are kind of cool in a way that other people aren't, and I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just because... a lot of old people just have that I don't give a rip attitude, and they've just, I think old people, I was talking earlier. I was earlier in the week. I was talking about how when I was a younger man, when I was 21, I dated this woman who was 43, and it was kind of, you know, nothing serious. We, I don't know, 6-7 months we were together, and I off and on, and it just sort of, it was kind of cool because there was no BS about it. There's no game playing. Everything was very upfront. There was no sort of gilding the lily, as they say. Everything is just very on the surface, and. So it is with, I think, and then that progresses, though. And I think old people are great because they're just so honest. They don't care. They don't have the energy or the inclination or the need to really to soft soap things. And so old people just say it as they see it, which I think is kind of refreshing in a way. But what's funny is that this woman named Tippy, that is actually not, of course, he says it's not her real name. It's not her real name. Her real name is whatever, Dorothy or Helen or something. But she calls herself, and keep in mind, this woman is like 88 years old. I mean, she's very old. She calls herself Tippy. That is a name that she gave herself about 5 years ago, because apparently, I think her real name is Dorothy. Apparently, there's another Dorothy who lives somewhere in Portland who runs around a lot, and she doesn't want to be confused with her.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is great. She told that to my wife one night after like four glasses of red wine. She was like, well, there's another Dorothy that I sometimes see at the American Legion, but she runs around a lot, and I don't want to get mixed up in that. So I started calling myself Tippy, which is just fantastic. This is like 88, and she doesn't want to be confused with some whore at the American Legion, who's also like an octogenarian. And of course, Tippy, because she's old, and because what are you going to do? It's closer to the end than the beginning, so you might as well live a little. You know, what is she constantly doing? Drinking. She's not like a drunk, not enough, but it's like you go over, and thank you, Scotty. Scotty brought me some coffee. How nice of you. Thank you, sir. But you go over to visit Tippy, and it's like she's fine, but anytime you go to see her, like, it's an occasion, and so an occasion calls for alcohol. Like, Laura will bring Max by to see her, the dog, and Tippy's like, well, Max is here. Isn't that great? Let's all have a toddy. And then she goes, she comes to the kitchen, comes out with flaming toddies for all. So I kind of look forward to being old. Probably not going to happen, but I look forward to it. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, being old is a lot more fun than being young.
Seriously, being young sucks. Being young is ass.
Now, if you want to live to be as old as Tippy and this 109-year-old woman, you want to eat plenty of vegetables because they're good for the prostate. So says Dr. Andrew Stevenson of the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, why does no one ever warn me?
Difficult to put...
Okay, well played.
It's believed that uncontrolled or excessive inflammation may lead to the development of prostatic diseases, and hence a high intake of antioxidants in the diet may reduce the effects of inflammation within the prostate.
All right, where? From where?
The Cleveland Clinic.
Now, okay, fantastic. All right, well done. I'm going to open these checks, Mitch, and see how these taste.
That's good for the prostate.
No, not at all. Oh, and it's not 50% less fat. Have you ever seen this? This bait and switch they do? 50% less fat, and then below that they list some completely other food, different food. Like 50% less fat than, you know...
French toast.
Than a bucket of butter. 50% less fat than regular potato chips.
Which really have nothing to do with chocolate.
They have nothing
chocolate.
To do with chocolate. Well, they're not chocolate covered, though. That's the thing.
That is a letdown.
All right, well, will you dump them in your hand so that you're not rooting around in there so I can have them?
We'll sort of something out of a machine that doesn't contain salt or chocolate.
Okay, this is, I think, you know what this is? This is regular Chex Mix mixed with caramel corn with some M&M's in it, I think. Hold on a second.
Ew, never mind, I'm not going to try them now.
That sounds good.
Sam, I know. Rick, nobody wants to hear that.
Everybody wants to hear that.
No, they don't.
No, it makes the hair in the back of my neck.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I'm just...
That's a very bad thing.
Yeah, I've never understood this bit, have you?
No.
No, I don't like listening to Rick.
I think people used to do that in the 70s, I believe.
Eat? I'm eating as God made me. How do you all chew your food?
Away from the microphone.
Oh, don't be such a prude. Here, do you want some? I know you want some.
Did you stick your hand in it?
No, I put my tongue in there and just like rooted around until some crap stuck to my mouth.
I can't reach. We'll
get Scotty in here.
All right, there you go. The studio is actually so big, it was actually hard to pass for the Chex Mix.
Oh, I think I see a chocolate
one. It's not bad. I want the rest of that back because I'm going to eat it. It's not bad. It's actually really good. Chocolate Chex Mix.
That is really good.
It's I'm saying, and 50% less fat than a bucket of butter. It's actually not bad at all.
And it's not really bad for you.
Oh, it is. It is. It's completely bad for you.
It has 200 calories.
What are the ingredients? Read the first three ingredients. I don't even know what they are, but read the first three.
Degermed yellow cornmeal.
Degermed.
Enriched flour. And sugar.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go. So
it's sugar or salt.
Yeah, that's well. It says on the front actually, perfect combination of sweet and salty. You know what? You know why that's good?
America.
Do you know why that? You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the Chicago style corn, which is half cheese corn, half caramel corn. Which you know. What are these sounds and where are they coming from?
Was that you, Tim?
Tim?
No, I'm not touching anything.
Okay, we didn't just imagine that, did we? Did we
were
all
you
just
watching something at TMZ that sounded like the beginning of a video?
Oh, is it one of those?
Oh, I do have a TMZ window open.
Was that one of those swap the fly, win an iPod banners that just came up?
Let me get rid of that.
Let me get some of these calls here. Chris, you have to get my Chex Mix back.
I'll buy you another bag. This is really
good. See, just like a woman, I hand you my bag of stuff and just
you have
it.
A nice homemade sandwich. All I have is a cup of soup. And
you have some great soup that Sarah Wagner, you know.
That was a lot of soup.
Fine. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, got a Anna Nicole Smith theory for you. The babies would be marshals, the husband. That way, that would ensure that the inheritance would actually go through Anna Nicole to her. The only hard evidence, or the only hard name left in the will is Howard K. Stern as the executor. So him having their fake marriage in Bahamas, that kind of sort of also puts him as guardian to the baby. Then he gets 18 years as the executor to play with $500 million.
I never really thought about that, of course the baby would be J. Howard Marshall, since she had his frozen sperm, because that's yet another, whatever, arrow in the quiver, you know, another key on the chain to get his money.
Exactly, since it's been kind of in court for so long, this is kind of...
Well, of
and now
course.
That there's a baby, there's an unattached baby out there now that needs support. The court will throw the money that way.
And then it goes to Howard K. Stern, who is the legal guardian and executor. Yeah, and then for the next 18 years, he gets to suckle on that. Not on the baby,
exactly.
But you know what I mean. Yeah, the figuratively speaking, he gets to suckle on the baby. Well, no, because that baby's a gravy train. That makes total sense. That absolutely makes sense. Doesn't that make sense to everybody here? The baby is J. Howard Marshall's, that, and Anna Nicole Smith, under the spell of Howard K. Stern, did that. And then he gets 18 years to feed off that. That makes absolute sense. I think you figured it out.
Well, hopefully that's it. Then I'll be a genius.
All right. Thank you, Chris. All right. There you go. Sarah's microphone is on and she's talking on the phone. I swear to God, I just heard you in the... Oh, maybe that was something else. All right. It's... Sorry, I'm just all...
Sorry, no. My sister might not be able to make it this weekend.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to...
That's fine. I'm just going through some stuff. Hang on.
Look at my Chex Mix.
No.
503-733-2970. Let's see here. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, Dan?
All right, this is what I would like to see happen regarding Anna Nicole. I would like the billionaire's daughter to inherit his money, and then whichever one of these schmoes end up inheriting Anna Nicole, like being her heir, just to inherit, like, $1 million worth of debt that she's racked up over the years or whatever.
Well, yeah, and because like all of these celebrities, you know, like all of the, you know, the athletes and musicians and whoever that did die, that die young, she took terrible care of her actual money. I mean, I think with the exception of like some of the recent trim spa money and again, whatever she would stand to inherit from this J. Howard Marshall guy, I think she was actually like in debt up to her eyeballs.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, where you hear about all those musicians who sell, like, 10 million, you know, records, and then, you know, they're, like, 5 million in debt at the end of it. So, no, you, that, yeah, no, I like the way you think, because you're totally right about that. That's a woman who couldn't manage 15 cents without a CPA by her side. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Excellent. Thank you, Dan.
I'm currently racing home in order to Google that address on Emerson Street so I can make it over there by, I don't know, 7 o'clock tonight.
Thank you, sir. I'd appreciate that. Yeah, because, and if there's public sex, that's the thing, you know, look, I mean, is it cheaper than going to a movie? I can just park across the street and, you know, with some corn and watch that.
Hey, do you think if I Google Earth it, I could kind of get a little real-time view of what's happening?
If you Google Earth it, could you watch the public sex and a quote, offensive littering taking place? I don't know. Has anybody here Google Earthed your own home?
Yes.
It's kind of creepy, isn't it?
It's totally creepy.
Especially because my car's parked out front. That's the weird thing about it. I remember there was some speculation for why the Google Earth could help in crime is because they could catch the people who were doing it, but I don't think it's that high resolution yet. But yeah, I like Google Earth my house, and it's like, and ironically, it was right after my 4Runner got stolen, and like the 4Runner was still up front. It was kind of sad. It was like watching a cache of the way I used to be. All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right, thanks.
That's Dan. We should take a break here. Come back. It's 503-733-2970. What's up with your sister? Is she going to make it in?
I don't know. It's not looking so good.
Stupid snow. All right. That's okay. Don't you worry. Mr. Chex Mix doesn't judge you. You need a chocolate friend, Sarah. Mr. Chocolate loves you just the way you are. It's
so creepy.
Have you ever seen... You haven't seen that episode of South Park. You have to. It's great. It's 503-733-2970. We're back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. More of your phone calls. Jim Roof from CNN. And later on, Scott Dowley and Aaron Duran from Film People Radio. Don't go anywhere. Sweet God Almighty. Hi there. How are you doing?
What's going on?
I don't want to talk about it. The goddamn machine won't give me my Chex Mix.
I just gave you a dollar.
I know, and I put it in, and I took the dollar, and then the Chex Mix are just hanging there. Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah, it's very funny to somebody who had a bag of Chex Mix, isn't
and
it?
It's hilarious. I paid you back for it, so it's not my problem anymore. The machine's not mine.
What is with you and your extra hate?
Somebody was because I'm upset drinking. That my sister can't come from the East Coast.
I can't get my Chex Mix, okay? So it's a tough day for everybody.
Oh, my God, I dislike you.
Let's not pretend that one person's brand of misery is stronger than another, Sarah Dillon.
Okay.
So I'm doing that. Oh, I guess. So I put the dollar in. I hit like 155. Chex Mix. The little springy thing, the coil winds. The Chex Mix comes all the way to the front, swings down, hangs. And so what am I doing? I'm doing everything. I say exactly what everybody says. Come on! Oh! And then I'm
shaking the machine. Never helps.
But you can't shake the machine anymore because they had, you know, those cases in high school or whatever where somebody would be rattling the machine would pinch you against a wall or whatever. And so the machines now weigh 5,000 pounds. You couldn't shake that machine if your life depended on it. I mean, I know I'm not the manliest of guys. I'm just saying they make those machines so heavy now that they can't possibly be shaken.
Not even like a John Candy character?
Perhaps. And so who's the largest person in this building?
Brian.
Like, you don't have to think.
He could give a thing a bear hug and squeeze.
He's like one of the biggest men I've ever seen.
He's huge. He really is.
In real life, honestly, he's...
I'm like whacking against the machine trying to get my Chex Mix out, and I weigh, you know, this silver bracelet I wear, so I've like bent this all to crap by whacking it on the... It's impossible for anybody to... Oh.
You can thank Dave Zinn for that.
Thank you, Scotty.
He solves all the problems.
Did Dave Zinn get
it? Good thing you got your Chex Mix.
Oh, I bet he has to give you the machine.
Well, there you go. Problem solved.
Which one of our huge problems is
that? Did you just crush that snack?
No, I just put it down here and I'm caressing it lovingly.
Isn't that the second bag?
It's 5-0. Sarah took my first bag. This is the first bag for me. I got one bite out of
you
that bag.
You ate a huge handful out of mine.
I did not. You just took it away from me. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles.
CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop.
What's up, brother man?
Happy Friday to you, sir.
How are you, sir? What's up in your world? How's life in SoCal, as they say?
Oh, man, Phil Spector and all kinds of... We got Anna Nicole Smith's Will. We got all kinds of great stuff.
All right, well, just start from the top. First of all, I'm going to be in, not in Los Angeles, but I'm going to be in Southern California this weekend. I'm going to be... And that cold snap's gone away, I hope.
Yeah, it'd be 80 degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm going to be in La Jolla for a big chunk of, for like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Ooh.
So
it's going to rain Sunday.
Is it? Well,
yeah,
that's okay.
It's 80 today, and tomorrow then it's going to start cooling off on Sunday.
Okay, well, that's fine. As long as I got it. You know, but the thing is, it's not going to rain as much as it rains here. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how much it rains, unless it's like 40 days and 40 nights and you're having to build something out of cubits. it's going to be fine. So it doesn't matter. Anywho, okay, well, let's just start at the top. What's up with Phil Spector?
Well, the judge is going to allow
gavel-to-gavel coverage of the trial.
Fantastic.
And the judge says, you know, it's a public interest. The public scrutiny is a good thing.
Damn straight it is.
You know, and if it wasn't for O.J. Simpson, there'd be cameras in the courtroom all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, and inspectors know O.J., but, I mean, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Yeah, that's what the judge is saying. He said, you know, a friend of his is Judge Ito. You know, he said Judge Ito never had no idea it was going to be the circus it was. He's not to blame for it. He didn't know he was going to turn on the Tonight Show and see
the dancing Itos. Yeah.
He said, and I don't think we're going to be seeing any flying fiddlers, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, and what a weird, and I know I go back to this all the time, but how weird that whole thing was that we lived through a dancing Itos stage in this country. I mean, it just shows how bizarre and warped this culture really is in some ways. And I was just talking about Judge Ito early on today. I was talking about, have you been following this nutcase judge in the Anna Nicole Simpson trial? When I say nutcase,
I think he's great.
No, yeah, not that his rulings are bad. I'm just simply saying that he's just so over the top about his. Did I play you this soundbite of him going, she's not rotting, we could go look at her now?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so
he's got that great New Jersey accent or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, he sounded like his name ought to be Three Fingers Brown.
No, that baby's on Cold Story.
Totally.
I'm not releasing him. His body belongs to me now.
I think
my trunk.
He's a guy who grew up in the shadow, or at least is aware of the shadow of the O.J. case, because he gets it. He's like, when you're on camera, it's showtime, baby.
Yeah.
You got to make the most of those 15 minutes you're going to get. So, anywho. All right, so when is the Spectre thing going
to
start?
March 19th, jury selection supposed to begin.
All
right. But it's been 4 years already, so Lord knows.
Really, the moral from this is the American legal system grinds so slowly. Anybody that's on your death list, you ought to just be killing now, because the odds are like 1 in 3 that you'll be dead before they ever do anything about it.
Yeah,
so.
And everybody made a big deal out of early on, way back when Spectre waived his right to a speedy trial. Like, that was a big deal. You kidding? That's what I would do.
Seriously?
Oh, no, let's take our time here.
Try me next century for all I care.
I'm in no hurry, Your Honor.
Try me posthumously. Doesn't even matter to me. I don't care. All right, well, we just talked to McCarthy about this a while back, about Anna Nicole Smith, but, I mean, it's just so bizarre. Let me just see if I can...
Have you read the will?
Well, we read big chunks of the will today, and there's so much that we just don't understand. You are covering this, Prince Frederick, blah, blah, blah.
I'm doing both. I'm doing the Von Anhold, and I'm doing the will. I'm talking to an attorney about the will.
Good, because I got like 100 questions here. So,
right.
One, this Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who is the husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor, he's a nutcase, right?
I don't know. I thought that at first. It was just so ironic when I hung up from you. I had to rush out to Santa Monica for this thing. And I thought he was a nut at first. But, no, I don't think so. I honestly believe he had the affair with Anna Nicole. I believe he had relations with her around the time that this little girl was conceived. I believe he is so against Howard K. Stern that he's going to test me, test him, test everybody. I don't care, but I guarantee you it's not going to be Howard K. Stern who's the father. And why isn't he getting tested? Why isn't he doing like I am and filing papers to be tested? There's something wrong there. So while I thought this guy was kind of a nutcase, and believe me, he's out there, man, but I don't know that he's so crazy anymore.
So he's sort of like Larry Burkhardt. Our whole thing with him is that he may not be the father, but you can tell he believes he is.
Yeah, he does believe. This guy, Von Anhalt, believes he could be.
Right.
It's a possibility. He was talking about the relationship between he and Anna Nicole that I'm thinking, this guy, because he's 118 years old or however old he is, he's not that into this case. He can't be that. He would know so much detail about this. So I believe that those two have had a relationship for 10 years. I believe that they talked as recently as 6 weeks ago. And I believe him when he says, look, we never discussed the baby because it was, I was having an affair with her.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it didn't become necessary to mention it until after she was dead.
And
you know, who thought I was going to outlive her?
And yeah, totally. And it does seem like, I mean, I don't know how much money Zsa Zsa Gabor's got, but it seems like he's a prince. She's Zsa Zsa Gabor.
He bought that he was adopted and he purchased that title. He's not a real prince.
Well, but even the fact that you could afford to adopt the title, I mean, it's not like he needs the money as such.
No, you're right.
So and I know that she's 90, and so how much spark could really be in that relationship? But still, it doesn't seem like you'd be causing yourself a lot of ruckus if you didn't think it was true. Maybe.
Yeah, you're right. He looks like a guy who's doing this honestly. to make sure, to rule out the fact that Howard K. Stern is not the father. He's thinking, if I don't throw myself in here, they're just going to give this kid to Howard K. Stern.
Right. Who everybody agrees is a weasel and creepy.
But yet he is named in the will as sole executive.
Okay, so that brings us to all of this. And we're just, it's so, okay, so let's just take these questions one at a time. And some of these you may know the answers to. Some we maybe have to determine in the future. The courts do. So this will is from the time before Daniel Lynn was born. So it was only Daniel at this time, right, when the will was drawn up?
Right, in 2001, I think.
And so in the absence of Daniel, since Daniel is deceased, is, like, the next kid just, like, slotted into that spot in the will?
Well, here's the problem. This is why I have a will and probate lawyer looking at this for me right now. Because in the will it says she purposely omits any future spouses or children. So her dead child is the heir. Now, the problem, well, not that as a problem, but the issue is, as a blood relative, this daughter, does she automatically slide in there?
Is she next in line?
Yeah. And that's what this guy's looking at for me now. Plus, it's not where the will was drawn up. It was drawn up in Los Angeles County. The jurisdiction over the will is where you are domiciled, where you are living. And so she's living in the Bahamas. Now, she's not a legal resident of the Bahamas, but that's where she, according to this lawyer, had been domiciled recently. So now, who's got jurisdiction over this will? It doesn't really change who the executor is and everything, but it does change the way it could be challenged or contested.
And so, and the executor is bound to follow the terms of the will, right?
Supposed to, yeah. And now, Howard K. Stern, if for some reason this will is so ironclad that this five-month-old little girl is excluded from the will, Howard K. Stern gets everything.
But let's assume that it's not. Let's assume that the money goes to the baby, goes
then
to Daniel Lynn.
He wants to be father of that baby.
And so it would then go to the biological father or the guardian?
It goes to the executive. Well, no, it goes to blood.
It would go to the baby's biological father.
It would go to take care of the child. It wouldn't even go to her mother. It would go to take care of the child. So it would go to the executor to hold in trust, to be doled out according to what the will states. You know, X amount of dollars at 18, X amount of dollars at 30, to be used for medical, blah, 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 that kind of thing.
So what do you think about the idea that the kid could be from the frozen sperm of J. Howard Marshall, and that might have been plotted while she was alive because it's a stronger way to get money out of that guy's estate?
I think that's a pretty good... I think if she was that smart, I'd be amazed.
Or somebody around her was that smart.
Or somebody around her was that smart. Because, yeah, then this girl is legitimately in line for this inheritance.
This whole thing is like some weird chess
it's
game.
It's only been 4 weeks. How long has it been since she's 2 weeks or whatever?
8 days.
Eight days? It seems like forever.
We were just saying that to Emma Garthi. It just seems like it's been a month, and it's only been 8 days.
I mean, I can only imagine. I don't even. There's no way this girl knew what kind of circus this was at the point she was dying.
No.
I can guarantee you that.
No.
It has blown up into this very strange thing. So I have to call this lawyer back in an hour. He's going to give me all these answers. But from what I understand, or from what he's told me briefly, is we don't know how ironclad this will is just yet.
All right.
And Howard K. Stern, who is named in the will, he may be the one that really gains here.
And then there's the issue of all the drugs, which sort of seem to be at the center of all this. Maybe not the reason for all of it, but all of this seems to swirl around this nexus of drugs.
And Von Anholt is blaming Stern. He said, he flat out yesterday said, he killed her. He gave her those drugs.
Well,
he killed her.
He was certainly around. He was around when Daniel died. He was around when Anna died. Anna, as though I know her, when Anna Nicole died, and then that's not like another 4 weeks, right, that we know what killed her.
Yeah, the toxicology, it hasn't come back yet, and
right.
It'll be at least a week.
I mean, if you've got methadone, I was saying this to somebody last night, if you've got methadone around at your place, that's the largest red flag possible for you having made a whole bunch of bad choices in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a bad indicator, if you have any reason to have methadone just sort of hanging around. So, good God almighty.
It is crazy, isn't it?
And no, seriously, it sounds horrible, but she has given us so much more in death than she gave us over the last 10 years.
Yeah, who figured that one?
This is the thing I keep going back to, when she died on, and it seems insane that it was last Thursday. She died halfway through our show, so we did about 2 hours on her, and then, of course, Friday we talked about it all day, and then I figured, well, the news cycle's going to spend itself. By Monday we'll have moved on, but I could not have imagined how wrong I was going to be.
Man.
Good God Almighty. All right. Well, enjoy your weekend. I will probably not get to Los Angeles proper, but I will, I don't know, I'll send warm wishes your way from the beach.
Well, if you can, give a call and, you know, we'll figure something out.
Absolutely, brother. If not, we will speak with you soon one way or the other. By the way, James Brown, still not buried. Just so you know.
Did you get confirmation from Ed about that?
I got confirmation from Ed McCarthy on that, and Lisa Goddard has taken an interest in it, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. I'm getting everybody at CNN on the bandwagon, one at a time.
Each of us are going to have to take him home for a night now.
Yeah.
It's like a class pet. No, it's little Mary's turn to take him home.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent James Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. Good God.
Brown is dead.
All right. 503-733-2970. Let me just blow through these calls here. Ted, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, first I got to ask you to send a warning when people are listening they shouldn't be driving. I about drove off the road yesterday laughing at the guest talking about reading the Bible and shaking the lamp.
Boy, Davey Neeples, Storm,
that was hilarious.
Storm's significant other and the bass player for Storm the Balls. I got more comments yesterday about his story about he and Storm reading the Bible together in the bathroom at the Rockstar Mansion.
And then they went over to the Marconi show and I heard them referencing reading the Bible again.
Really?
But except I don't think, they weren't listening to the show.
Yeah, no, it was...
And I don't know if they knew what they're talking about.
No, it was pretty great. That was a fantastic story.
I gave you a call, though, Rick, to let you know the only plausible explanation for James and Anna and Cole not being interned yet.
Mm-hmm.
They've re-embalmed James with Viagra, and they're shipping him down to Florida to hook up with Anna and Cole.
I don't want to think about that. That's an unpleasant thought. All right, let me see if I can just take you out with a...
James Brown is dead.
All right, thank you, sir. That's Ted. There you go, Ted.
All you're right. Just loving that James Brown is dead.
It's hilarious, and I mean...
James Brown is dead.
All right, 503-733-2970. And the thing is, now it'll never get old, by definition. It'll never be inaccurate. It'll always be correct. Always and forever. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi, Chris. Chris. Chris!
James Brown is dead.
All right.
The problem seems to be line one today now.
It is. Let's try another Chris. Chris, hello. Chris?
James Brown is dead.
All right. Let's try another one. Let's try Aubrey. Hello, Aubrey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm trying to figure out how to get the free Supernova tickets.
Oh, the Rockstar Supernova tickets for tonight's show at the Memorial Coliseum. I believe Dave Zim was telling me about this. I think you go to rosequarter.com.
Okay.
And I think all you have to do is, like, be on their mailing list or something. I think it's, you just put in your, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I think you just go there and you sign up with your email address. They probably send you spam or something, but it's you go there, and I think if you're on the rosequarter.com, you just sign up for their mailing list. I think you get a thing for free Rockstar Supernova tickets. I believe that's the case.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay, so it's rosequarter.com?
Rosequarter.com, and again, I don't know that for sure. I am not I'm not saying that as an official representative, but I believe that's the case. You go there and you sign up for their newsletter, and I think that's how you get it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aubrey. There you go. That's Aubrey in Portland. There you go. Fantastic.
James Brown is dead.
503-733-2970. All right. Do we have to break?
We sure do.
Yeah, God almighty. Okay. Heavens. Heavens. Heavens to Betsy. There ought to be a band called Heavens to Betsy.
We talked about this like 3 years ago.
Is there one?
Yeah.
Never mind. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Scott Daly, and Aaron Geek in the City Duran from FilmFeverRadio.com. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You say there's the Rick Emerson radio program.